All right, we're starting here, right after the Mishnah on the bottom of Yutet Amud Bet. The Gemara says, Agufa Kasha. Right, there's an internal stira in the Mishnah because the Mishnah gives you information, but what the Gemara is searching for now is what is the default status of the object. If the Mishnah tells you if you have active kavanah about something, that means that there is a default status. And what you see from the Mishnah is that there's an internal stira, an internal contradiction as to what is the default status. Amart. In the first place, you said, Asad shchiva mekabel tumah. If you specifically intend it to be used for sleeping on, then it's mekabel tumah. Ve'im sachimba, and therefore you can't use it for schach. Taima dasad shchiva, that's only because you intended it to sleep on. Hastama, the default status would be the sikuch. That means that if you said nothing, that's what's the default status. V'hadr tani. And then the next line of the Mishnah is, the sikuch. If you intended for schach, misachin ba, v'ena mikabel tumah. You can use it for schach because it's not mikabel tumah. Taima dasa the sikuch. The only reason is because you made it for schach. That means if you have no intent, hastama the shchiva. Without intent, then you would utilize it to sleep on. Mar says, alokasha, kan bigdola, kan bigtana. Mishnah is actually talking about two different items. So that's why the default status is different. The default status in the first case, which is gedola. So in that case, if he makes it the shchiva, it's mekabel tumah. If he specifically intends it to sleep on, then fine. Otherwise, the default status of the larger mat is the sikuch. Because people don't make those large mats to sleep on. They're just too big. They're made for schach. On the other hand, by a smaller mat, the default status is the shchiva. People sleep on them. They sit on them. They are mekabel tumah. Unless you have specific intent. Otherwise, so also over here, you have to have intent that it'll be the sach, otherwise it won't be. That's the way the Gemara solves the problem. Now that's as far as the Tanakama is concerned. Problem is that Rabbi Eliezer already addresses something on the words of the Tanakama, and it doesn't work so well then, because you say, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achat ktana, v'achat gedola, irrespective of whether it's big or small, asad shchiva mekabel tumah. If you specifically intend it for shchiva, then it's mekabel tumah. Ve'ein misachimba. And you can't use it for schach. Taimo da'asad shchiva. That's only because you made it, you specified it to be used for sleeping on. Hastama. If you had nothing in mind, the sikuch, then it would be fine for schach, big or small. Ema seifa. Then what are you going to do with the latter half? Asad sikuch misachinba. If you make it for schach, then it's good. Veinu mekabel tumah. Taimo da'asad sikuch. Hastama the shchiva. You have the same problem you had in the Tanakama, now you have in Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakama specified two sides. Either you can make it for Shchiva or make it for Sikuch, which gives you opposite results in terms of the default status of the object. Rabbi Eliezer has the same problem. Rabbi Eliezer gives you both sides, which is if you make it for Shchiva Tumah, you make it for Sikuch, it's for Sikuch, but it leaves us uncertain as to what the default status of the object is. With the Tanakama, we explained, okay, it's two different cases. One's gedola, one's ktana. With Rabbi Eliezer, that doesn't work because he says achad gedola, achad ktana. He doesn't differentiate in that way, so you can't say it's talking about different objects. Ela amarova bigdola kuliyama lo plige destama lesikuch. Makloket Rashi and Tosafot. I read this. Rashi says that they both the end of the Tanakama statement as well as the entire statement of Rabbi Eliezer is premised on this that the default status of something that's made stam is lesikuch unless you have something else in mind. We would assume that you're making it for schach. Ki plige biktana. Their machloket is about a ktana. Tanakama sever stam ktana l'shchiva. The Tanakama believes that when you make a small mat, you're going to use it for sleeping on. It's mekabel tumah unless you specify otherwise. Blazer stavar stam ktana nam l'sikuch. He thinks that both a big one and a small one are l'sikuch. That means that Rabbi Blazer is the kula. Blazer is the kula because he's saying that both big mats and small mats, their default status is for sikuch. Whereas the Tanakama thinks that's only true by big mats, not true by small mats. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that Ela Marov is only referencing Rabbi Eliezer's statement. That Rabbi Eliezer's statement is talking about that Estam Gidola is the Sikuch, and that's the reference point. He says he doesn't like Rashi's interpretation because the way Rashi is interpreting it and saying that the Tanakama is talking about a big one all the way through, it makes it that the Tanakama never really addresses Ktana. Never addresses the small schach. And that means Rabbi Eliezer who says, achad gedola, achad ktana, is not addressing directly the words of the Tanakama, but rather a diuk out of the words of the Tanakama. The diuk from the Tanakama is that a stam big mat is the srichuch, unless you specify otherwise. But that means, what do you imply from that? The by ktana, that would not be true. Then Rabbi Eliezer comes and says, oh, achad gedola, achad ktana, as if addressing the diuk. So that's why Tosafot doesn't like the way Rashi switches the whole Mishnah, and he only switches the point by Rabbi Eliezer to say that the Tanakhama did still talk about a Ketana. Because if the Tanakhama speaks about a Ketana, then he's directly addressing the words of the Tanakhama. Tanakhama is saying, Ketana is Stam L'Shchiva. And along comes Rabbi Eliezer and says, that's not the case. Both Gedola and Ketana both have the same default status. That default status is L'Sikuch. So now, V'achi Kamar. This is how to explain the Mishnah. Mechatzelet HaKani Magdola Asad L'Shchiva Mekabela Tuma. Gdola, whose default status is for sikuch, if you do it specifically, shchiva mekabel tumah, ve'im sachrimba, and therefore you can't use it as schach. Taimo da'asal d'shchiva. That's only because you made it to sleep on. Hastama. Had it been the default status, you just made it without saying anything, without any intent. Now second, mi'a sha'asal sikuch. It says, if you made it for sikuch and misachrimba. And instead of saying that the second statement is that he is doing it with intent for sikuch, it says if he did it with intent for sikuch. When you do it stam, that's the way to read it. The parentheses are what Tosafot notes, which is that if you say that the Tanakhama is only addressing the Gdola, then the Ketana becomes a diuk, which is Ketana she'asal sikuch misachin ba, only if you intend it for sikuch. Taima da'asal sikuch, that's only if he did it intentionally. Hastama, if just default is nasek misha asal shchiva ve'im sachim ba, as if it's made for shchiva and made for sachim ba. Rashi takes out this girsa. For Rashi, there is no girsa because Rashi says they changed the whole front, the whole top. The Tanakhama is only talking about gdola now. That's it. The way Tosafot says, no, we leave it in place that the gdola and ketana is mentioned by the Tanakhama, and then Rabbi Eliezer is responding to it. So according to Tosafot, you would keep this girsa, and according to Rashi, you eliminate the girsa because Rashi says the Tanakhama doesn't address Ketana, it's only a diuk out of the words of the Tanakhama. Parentheses are here because generally the Gemara's follow the girsa of Rashi, and the girsa of Rashi would eliminate this piece from the Gemara. Although for Rashi, it's true as well, what it is, but it's just a diuk out of the Mishnah. It's not explicit in the Mishnah. V'ata Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer is responding to that and saying, "L'meimer achad ketana v'achad gdola stamak shira." That he says, no, the default status is always that it's kasher, the sikuch, because people make it l'skach, and therefore it's kasherah the sikuch. So then, Amar le'abaye, if that's the case, ihachi, Rabbi Eliezer omer, achat ketana v'achat gedola, achat gedola v'achat ketana mibayile. So this is also a girsa issue. The girsa that we have in our Gemara is a girsa of Rashi. The older girsaot were a little different. Rashi brings proof to the fact that he's right about his girsa from other Mishnayot. Tosafot over here spends time showing that there are support to Rashi's position, but there are also things that don't support Rashi's position, and therefore Tosafot's willing to have a slightly different girsa. But the gist right now, and we'll go with Rashi's girsa, is if you think that Rabbi Eliezer is coming to argue on the Tanakhama says, Gdola stam l'schach. Rabbi Eliezer agrees with that. Then, the Tanakhama says, Ketana, either he says it according to Tosafot or according to Rashi, it's a diuk, that Ketana, Stam, L'Shchiva. Along comes Rabbi Eliezer and argues on both of them. What does he say about both of them? Stam L'Sikuch, Stam L'Shchach. So, how would you express that? How would you express the fact that I agree with Gedola, but I disagree with Ketana? And that's basically what's going on here. Rabbi says, Ihachi, if you're right, that Rabbi Eliezer omer, Achat Ketana, V'Achat Gedola, just like Ketana, so is Gedola. That's not what he wants to say. He wants to say, Achat Gedola, V'achat Ketana, Mipa'ilei. He wants to say, just like Gadol, so too is Ketana. So, as Rashi points out, that's the style or stylistic way of the Tanaim, which is they first mention the simple, or the given, and then they say what they want to include, or what they want to compare to it. So here, if Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing with the Tanakhama with regards to Gedola, and then saying Ketana should be different, but the same as Gedola, the way you should have phrased it is Achat Gedola ve'achat Ketana. Ketana is similar to Gedola, but that's not what we have in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says by Rabbi Eliezer, Achat Ketana ve'achat Gedola, making it sound like the Ketana is the given, and Gedola is what he's comparing to the Ketana. That's how Rashi expresses it. He says, Darchei HaTanaim, Chol Makom, Da'i D'Pshitalei Tana Bereisha. They write the simple thing first, the given first, and then they say, what is compared to the given? Rabbi says, if you're right, the way you're explaining it, Rabbi Eliezer's position is expressed incorrectly. It's expressed backwards. Instead of saying, achat, ketana v'achat gdola, he should have said, achat gdola, where he agrees with the Tanakhama, and then v'achat ketana, ketana is similar to the gdola mibayle. Vod, ki plige b'gdolahu de plige. Number two is, they don't argue about the ketana, they argue about a gdola. Rabbi Eliezer the chumrah. And the last thing is that Rabbi Eliezer is the chumrah. So he has 3 points to his question. One is the nature of the way he expresses it in the Mishnah does not corroborate what Rava is suggesting the argument's about. Number two is, they don't argue about a Ketana, they argue about a Gdola. How does he know that? We're going to bring up right there in a second. And the last is that Rabbi Elazar is the Chumrah. Rabbi Elazar is not the Kula, but rather the Chumrah. And the way we have it expressed, now in Rabba's position, is that he's the Kula. He's saying Tana and Gdola are both Stam Neskach, which is the Kula. Titania. Here is Rabbi's proof that that's the way Rabbi Elazar holds. It says, Mechatzelet Haktanim. If you have a mat made out of reeds, Big Dola Misachinba. If it's a large one, then you can use it for Skach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Imeina Mikabela Tuma Misachinba. Only if it's not Mikabel Tuma can you use it. Well, what does that mean, only if it's not Mikabel Tuma? That means that he thinks the default status is that it is Mikabel Tuma. How do you stop that? You have in mind to use it for Skach. So you see two things here. First of all, you see they argue about a Gdola, because the Tanakh only mentions Gdola here, and Rabbi Elazar is arguing on it. That's number one. Number two is, Rabbi Elazar is the Chumrah. The Tanakh says the default is not Mikabel Tuma. Rabbi Elazar says only if it's not Mikabel Tuma, implying that that's not the default. The default is that it is Mikabel Tuma. You have to expressly change that. So Rabbi Elazar is the Chumrah. So from all those questions, Ella Amar Rav Papa, now we have an alternative reading of the Mishnah, which is, Big Tanakh lo yama lo plige de stama l'shchiva. Baiktana, everybody agrees that the stam status of Iktana is l'shchiva, and therefore it's mekabel tuma, and you cannot use it unless you intend otherwise. Ki plige, when do they argue? Bige dola. They only argue about Gdola. Tanaka ama savra stam gdola l'sikuch. Gdola is default status to be used for schach. Rabbi Elazar savra stam gdola nami l'shchiva. He says that the Gdola and the Ktana have the same din and their default is the Shchiva. Now it reads properly in the Mishnah. He says, Achat Kitana. Everybody agrees by Ktana that it is the same Shchiva. V'achat Gdola. Gdola has the same status as Ktana, which is Stam L'Shchiva. That's why his Lashon reads properly. But in this way, Gdola is where they argue. Ktana, they all agree, but they all agree to the negative side, which is Ktana is always the Shchiva, unless you specify otherwise. The Tanakama's position, the default status in the first case, which is Gedola. So in that case, if he makes it the Shchiva, it's Mekabel Tuma. If he specifically intends it to sleep on, then fine. Otherwise, the default status of the larger mat is the Sikuch. On the other hand, by a smaller mat, the default status is the Shchiva. They are Mekabel Tuma, unless you have specific intent otherwise. Now that's as far as the Tanakama is concerned. Rabbi Elazar sever stam gdola nami l'shchiva. So ma yasa l'shchiva de kamar. So what does that mean that he made it for shchiva? Hachimar stam asiyata nami l'shchiva ad avid l'sikuch. It's not that when he says as imasa l'shchiva. What do you mean he made it for shchiva? He doesn't need to make it for shchiva. That is the default status, is that it is for shchiva. So what does it mean that he made it for shchiva? That's what they're saying, that the stam making of it is the shchiva. So they reread it that way, so that there's no internal stira in the diukim out of the Mishnah, that it says, sad shchiva mekabelet tuma. When he makes it, that is the default status, and that's how he rereads it to fit into our Mishnah. Gemara now is going to move into the world of tuma to discuss these mats, which obviously as these things have nafkamina today, since mats are so popular, almost everybody uses mats today, so therefore the information here is important in terms of the kashrut of these mats. So Tanur Banan, mechatzelet shel shifa v'shel gemi. If you have a mat that's made out of wicker, or gemi, which is either reed grass or straw, gidola, if it's a big one, misachinba. So this seems to be similar to what we saw in the Tanakama, though we're using different materials here, but a gdola, the stam is for schach. Ktana, ein misachinba. If you have the smaller one, you cannot use it. The assumption being that then it's utilized for sleeping on Mistam L'Shkiva and you can't use it. Shel Kanim v'shel Chilat. If it's Kanim made out of reeds, or Chilat, which seems to be a variation of species of reeds, then the next word is controversial how to read this next word. Most of the Rishonim read it as Gidula. Not Gidola, but Gidula. Gidula means plaited, braided, or made into rings. That is, it's a methodology for connecting the different reeds. You can either weave them, which is the next statement in the Braita, or you can make them in a plaited way. You can make them where they are like looped together, and in making those loops, so they join together. It's a braiding or a plaited way of putting them together rather than the weaving. The reason or the difference between them is that when you use this gidula, they're much thicker and they're uncomfortable. You wouldn't want to lay on them because they're not flat and not smooth. When you weave them, they're a much flatter surface, and so therefore you would want to. So that's why it says here, Gidula misachinba. This one that is woven in that way or plaited, that you can use because of the discomfort nobody's going to use to lay on. They're for sure it's made for sikuch. That we don't have to worry about. Aruga, On the other hand, if it's woven, because the assumption there is that it is made for sleeping on. Now, what does that mean for machatzelet shel shifa v'shel gemi? Right over there, they only differentiated between gdola and ktana. There is no differentiation made between gidula and aruga. The assumption would be by shifa and gemi, which are either softer materials or thinner materials, it doesn't matter which methodology you use, and you would sleep on both of them. Thickness of the object will make a difference in the plating, whether it's big or uncomfortable versus how thin it is. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv, Achazu, Achazu, Misachinba. It doesn't matter, you can use either one, meaning both plating versus the aruga. Either one of them you can utilize. V'chein Chaya, Rabbi Dosa, Omer Kidvarav. Rabbi Dosa also held, like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, who said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that there is no differentiation over here. Now, the Rambam seems to read this differently. The Rambam seems to say that this says here, Gidola, and not Gidula. Because if you read it, Gidola, it has implications. The reason that you might want to read it that way is because of our Tanakhama. According to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says, Michatzelet Shelkanim. Michatzelet Shelkanim, our Mishnah says that a Stam Gidola is Kasher, and a Stam Kitana is Psula, is the Shchiva. The way that we have it in the Brayta, turns out that the Brayta makes no distinction between Gdola and Ktana, and says the only distinction is between Gdula, braided, and woven. Then you have Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi's statement come along and saying, Achadzu, Achadzu. Whether it's woven or if it's braided, everything's fine. But reflecting back on the Tanakhama statement, means that there's also no difference between Gdula and Ktana. If that's the case, this Brayta argues on our Mishnah, a Mishnah that makes a distinction between Ktana and Gdula. That's a possibility. Some of the Rishonim say that, like the Rishonei Ashkenaz, then you would have a cloak between our Mishnah and this statement over here. It argues on our Mishnah, and we paskin like our Mishnah, not like this. And therefore, Gdola Stam would be the Skach, but Ektana would be Stam the Shchivah. Or, according to the Rambam, you can make it that it doesn't argue on our Mishnah, because he says, Gidola Misachinba, which is similar to our Mishnah. Aruga E Misachinba. A Gdola, large mat, is fine. But away, something that was woven is problematic, even if it's a big mat. And then along comes Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and says, Achadzu, Achadzu. It doesn't matter in Gdola whether it's either way. Anything in Gdola is fine, according to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Dosa. If that's the case, then they agree with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, the Tanakhama, our Mishnah says that a Stam Gdola is fine to be used for Schach. And so does now Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, as well as Rabbi Dosa. They also believe that Stam is, Gdola is fine. And that's the way that Rambam paskins. The Rambam paskins that a Gdola mat can be used because Stam Gdola is the Schach, and they agree with the position of our Mishnah. And he makes no distinction or differentiation between whether it's woven or if it's braided. How you read it makes a difference on how it reconciles with our Mishnah and who we paskin like. The Shulchan Aruch, the paskins like the Rambam, makes no differentiation between woven or plated or braided mats. The Mishnah Berurah cites that it all has to do with the nature of the place, which is in the Gemara coming up. The way that Rabbi Chia in the upcoming Gemara describes it, it has to all do with the location. And the normal usage of those items in that location will have impact on the item as to what the default status of the item is. It's not necessarily about the nature of the weave or the nature of the material, but rather what the default status is in that particular area. It's not Hotom. We have a Mishnah in Ediot. Kol ha-chutzalot mitamim tmeimet. All these chotzalot, which we don't know what they are, the Gemara will ask that in a second what these are, they are mitamei tmeimet, divrei Rabbi Dosa. V'chomim omrim midras, that they can become mekabel tuma midras. The difference between tuma tmeimet and tuma midras, tmeimet, in order to do something mekabel tuma from tmeimet, all it has to be is a kli. It has to be a functional kli. As long as it's a functional kli and of the materials that we are specified in the Torah, whether it's the materials that require a Beit Kibul, require a receptacle, or other materials that don't, like metals that don't require anything, they can mekabel tuma no matter what. So in that instance, they're mekabel tuma, period. When it comes to tumat midras is a much more stringent form of tuma that is associated with nida, with zav, zava. These are associated with those higher forms of personal tuma that yotze migufo, tumat yotze migufo. In tumat midras, that means that if a person sleeps on something or sits on it, they can transmit tumah even though they don't come into contact with it. That means that if a zav lies on top of a bunch of boxes that are on top of a bed, he'll make the bed tameh because of tumat midras. He sits on a chair, even though there's a booster or something else on the chair, never comes in contact with the chair, he's mitameh the chair, which is called tumat midras. Tumat midras is if you sit or lay on the object, even though you don't come into direct contact with it, you give it a higher form of tumah. Even if you do come into direct contact with it, you still give it a higher form of tumah, which it's differentiated from just coming into contact with it. Negiah versus midras. But midras is only true when the object is designated for sleeping on or sitting on. If it's not designated for that purpose, the Gemara says, we say, amold vasim alachteinu. If he turns over a barrel and sits on the barrel, he does not convey tumat midras in that way because a barrel is not made for sitting on. We're going to say to him, get up, I want to use the barrel, I'm going to flip it over and throw him off over there. So it has to be something that's specifically designated for that purpose. So what the machloket here is in Chotzalot is Rabbi Dosa says it's only mitameit tmeimet. It's only mikabu tumah from tmeimet in an ava tumah. I mean, it's true of any tumah. It can be a sheretz, it can be any time. Tmeimet just happens to be the highest form of tumah in ava tumah that still has the din, not like midras. So he says over here that it's tmeimet because that means it's not designated for sitting on or sleeping on. Chamim disagree and say, no, it's got tumat midras because it is designated for sitting and sleeping on. The way that you can get tumat meit conveyed is ohel, carrying, noseya, or negiya, direct contact. But if you sit on it with something else blocking between you and it, it won't be mekabel tumah because there's no direct negiya in that case. The conveyance of tumah by midras means that whether you lay on it, sleep on it, walk on it, even if you never come in direct contact into it, then you can convey tumah in that way. Your Gemara says, midras in tmei meit lo. Midras is like a higher form. It's like tmei meit plus. So what, the Chachamim are saying, oh, it's mekabel tumat midras, but not tmei meit. So the Gemara says, v'anan tanan, kol ha-mitamei midras mitamei tmei meit. Anything that can possibly mekabel tumat through midras, certainly can mekabel tumat through tmei meit. Now, the Mishnah there also continues and says the opposite is not true. Just because mekabel tumat mitamei mitmei meit doesn't mean you're mitamei midras. But it's clear that if you mitamei midras, you're clearly already incorporated everything that's in tamei meit. So that's what I said. Ema af midras. That's the easy solution to the problem. Chachamim are not arguing and saying midras only. They're saying also midras. Not only is it tamei tamei meit, it's also tamei midras. They're adding to Rabbi Dosa's statement. They're not arguing on his statement. So now Gemara asks the obvious question, which are my chotzalot. What are these chotzalot here that we're discussing? So Amarav of Dime Bar Hamduri Marzovle. Well, obviously that didn't help very much. My Marzovle. What are Marzovle that we're speaking about here? Amar Rabbi Abba Mizable. If we got a definition of what these chotzalot are, Mizable, you can see the word Mizable comes to the word Zevel, which means discard, things that you throw away, like bags of foliage, or as Rashi describes them, they're pillows. They're items that are stuffed with refuse or discard, and they're used to be pillows for the ro'eh, for the shepherds. When they're out in the fields, this is what they put their head on when they lay down and when they are sitting. So that's what these Mizable are. They're pouches that you fill with material that can be used as pillows or for resting on. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, machatzalot mamash. So he says, oh, you think chotzalot, that's like machatzalot. That's like a machatzalot. It's a reed mat. That's what he says it is. And this is Reish Lakish the Shita Do, the Amar Reish Lakish. Hareini kaparat Rabbi Chia ubanav. Now, harei kaparat is a terminology that's mentioned in the Gemara Kiddushin. The Gemara Kiddushin says that in the first year after passing of a parent, or probably for a Rebbe as well, generally the din is the same, that the expression that one makes with regards to the parent, after they mention their name, we say Zecher Tzadik Levracha, or Zichrono Levracha, that's only after 12 months. Within the first 12 months, you say Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo. That is the terminology that is used, Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, that's only generally used in the first 12 months. It would seem here that Reish Lakish is using it even after that time, when he says Hareini Kaparat, and that I'm their Kapara, what it means is also subject to controversy. Many believe that it means that you can then say whatever Isurim or bad should happen to them, I am Kapara for them. I should take that Isurim, or the Isurim that I get should act as a Kapara for them. One of those ways that you're somehow providing a benefit to the mate, and that of respect or your love for the mate, you're taking whatever bad should happen for them, or the bad that happens to you, you assign the benefit to them. So that's what it means in those first 12 months, because in general, in the first 12 months, we know that the Nidonim in that time period. So it's a way to give a zchut to the mate. That's how some read it. Others don't like that approach. There are a number of reasons not to like it. One of which is, why is it that you are now being responsible for someone else's problems? Other people sinned, and now you're taking on the burden of their sins? So that's one issue. Others argue, wait, Kolisa Ravim Zela says, so you do have some sort of responsibility in here. The other issue is that it's not always true. You know, sometimes a parent's behavior is not condoned by the child necessarily, and then also now, in their first 12 months afterwards, they have to start accepting all the punishment for it. It doesn't make so much sense. So the many reason it rather as a expression of kavod. Harini kaparat mishkavam is a way of saying that my behaviors, what I should do, should always benefit them, or I should be a kaparat for them. Not in the absolute sense or the real sense, but rather in a figurative sense. And it's a way to grant kavod to them. Now, what's interesting here is Reish Lakish is saying it's probably likely afterwards. I'll explain why. He says here, Harini kaparat rabbi chiya ubanav, shebetchila shenishtakacha Torah miYisrael, when Torah was forgotten, Allah Ezra min Bavel viYisda. Ezra comes from Bavel and reestablishes it. This is on the basis that the majority of the Talmid Chachamim and the Yeshivot are found in Bavel. So the center of Torah has become Bavel. Eretz Yisrael is left without anything. And it says, now Ezra comes back and brings back and reestablishes in Eretz Yisrael the learning and the Yeshivot in Eretz Yisrael. Chazra v'nishtakacha, it happens again. And Allah Hillel HaBavli. Hillel comes up from Hillel HaBavli from Bavel, and he studied by Shmaya Bavtalion, and we know the story from the Gemara in Pesachim about they didn't know what to do on Erev Pesach that fell out on Shabbat, and the Bnei B'Teira, who were the Nesim at the time, didn't know what to do, and Hillel HaBavli comes up and tells them what they should do or has something to say. He is a little bit of a big shot then, and then forgets some of the halachot, he gets into trouble. So Hillel HaBavli was the one who returned. Now, it's not that they forgot everything. It's not like Torah just went away. But it seems to be certain halachot or certain misorot were lost that they had in Bavel, which again was a much more steady yeshivot and a much more steady sora. So therefore, they come up from Bavel and they're able to bring stuff. So that's what Hillel does. So then, chazra v'nishtakacha, again, it was forgotten later on. Alu Rabbi Chiyo banav yizdua. Rabbi Chiyo and his children come and they reestablish it. Now, why that's interesting is because Rabbi Chiyo is a peer of Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who's putting together the Mishnah. To say that in Eretz Yisrael, so they needed help from Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the Mesedera Mishnah, forgot halachot, that seems very strange. So what you have to suggest, again, that's why I'm saying this, the Ritva makes this suggestion over here, is that they didn't literally forget, they didn't have certain misorot. Certain misorot were extant in Bavel, that were not fair in Eretz Yisrael, or Darkei Alimud, a methodology for learning, a methodology or application of ways to learn, were found in Bavel. They didn't have them in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what Rabbi Chiya Ubanav are bringing, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't have. So that's why you have to explain it that way. Now, why is that important? It's interesting, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are second generation Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. We know they did learn by Rabbi, because there's a story. Rav and Shmuel, who are in Bavel, first generation Amoraim in Bavel, Rabbi Chiya is Rav's uncle. We know that from the stories in the beginning of Pesachim, in the beginning of Sanhedrin, that Rabbi Chiya is Rav's uncle. So he's a generation before, meaning that he's that last generation of Tanaim in Rabbi's time period. Avua de Shmuel, Shmuel's father, is in that generation between the Tanaim and Amoraim, the gap generation. And then Shmuel is a first generation Amora along with Rav in Bavel. Rav's a little older than Shmuel. Rav learnt in Eretz Yisrael before he was pushed out. We saw that Gemara earlier, that they push him out because they're afraid that they're going to lose the Nesiyot to Rav, because they had the dream about that. And they force Rav to leave and go to, we saw that in Gemara and Yoma, they force Rav to go to Bavel, and that's where he establishes in Bavel. So Rav learned by Rabbi in the beginning. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish tell a story that somebody mentioned Rav's name, and they go, who's Rav? Da, da, da. And they go, oh, don't you remember that guy in the front of the class that knew everything? Because the way they said in their day was based on the hierarchy, so the people in the front of the class. So don't you remember that guy up in the front by Rabbi who knew everything? He left for Bavel. Oh, that's Rav. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are youngsters and learned by Rabbi. So over here, when Reish Lakish says, oh, Rabbi Chiya Ubanav, he's saying that they were his Rebbeim, he probably did see Rabbi Chiya because he sat in Rabbi's class, and Rabbi Chiya's a peer, maybe a drop younger than Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he did see him. That's probably why Banav are mentioned, because it's more likely that it's Rabbi Chiya's children than Rabbi Chiya that he's in contact with. But to say that it happened in the last 12 months, that's very difficult. And when he says Harini Kaparat Mishkavo, it's likely because he saw him as his Rebbe Mufak or as the Nasi that he says it in that way, not because it's within 12 months of him passing. All right, so now he says, V'cheina Amar Rabbi Chiya Ubanav, and that's what Rabbi Chiya Ubanav say, Lo Nechluku Rabbi Dosu V'chachamim Amachatzalot Shel Usha. They do not argue about these machatzalot, these reed mats of Usha, Shehein Tmeot. They are for sure Tamei because they're made L'shchiva. That's their stam making. Shel Teveria, those that are made in Teveria, Shehein Teorot. They're made in Teveria, they're definitely Tahor, because in Teveria they make the mats, stam for Schach. By the way, this has implications, which is, it has to do with the location. Where you make the mat also matters. Right, but also has Nafkamino today, of where they make the mats. Say you go out to the Far East, and you're making them the Schach, but if in those locations they make them for Shechiva, it may be that is the stam, that is the default status of these mats, unless they're made specifically, even though you intended them for Schach. Unless you specifically make them for schach and indicate that, may not help you at all, because location makes them stam, as you see here in the Gemara. If they're made for those areas where they're made for mats, that's it. You can't use them. So if they're made in such a way that people wouldn't use them as mats, or because of the nature, you have to do things that make sure that they don't have that status of mats. But lo nechuk la'ashar mekamot, places where either the industry or there's no default status of the mats, what's their status? Marsavar came into Leka de Yati Velayu Kitiv Deveria Damion. People don't generally sit on them. Therefore, we give them the status like Deveria, which is the default is that they're Velaskach. Marsavar came into Mikre Viyatve Alayu. There are times when it happens. Sometimes it happens. In a rare occasion, they do sit on them. Kidu Usha Damion. We compare them to Usha, not to Deveria. Because in Deveria, they're definitely using them for Skach. In Usha, they sit on them all the time. So which one is it more like? And that's the question that they're arguing about. So that is, V'chein HaMarabiyah agrees with Reish Lakish's explanation that the Chotzalot that we're talking about, there are Machatzelet. And that is the Machatzelet that he calls Chotzalot Machatzelet. And that's what Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim are arguing about according to Rabbi Chia. And that's Reish Lakish the Tameh, because Reish Lakish quotes Rabbi Chia as saying that. But if it means Machatzelet, then it has impact for us, because then it means Machatzelet. What's the din of Machatzelet over here? And the difference is that if it's Mekabel Tumah, it's problematic. If it's not Mekabel Tumah, and here we're discussing exactly what gives it that nature. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Kol HaChotzalot Mitamim Tmeimet Divrei Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says they are Kelim, but they are not meant to be Shechiva or Yeshiva. Tanya, Chen Haya Rabbi Dosa Omer Kedvarav. Degree to Rabbi Yossi, that Yuzubazu Misachinba. You can use either of them for Eschach. Rabbi Yossi was Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi, who quoted before, and said, Achadzu, Ve'achadzu, you're allowed to utilize for Eschach. That was Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi quoting his father. Rabbi Dosa agreed, we had in the Gemara before. It says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv, Achadzu, Ve'achadzu, Mischachimba. Ve'chein haya Rabbi Dosa Omer, Kidvarav. Rabbi Dosa agreed with what Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi quoted with his father's name, which means that you can use them always for Eschach. Well, if you can use them for schach, as what? They can't be mekabel tuma. So how is it over here that Rabbi Dosa is saying that they are meitami tmeimet? And then over here, he's saying in the other brayta, he was saying that they can use for schach. Rabbi says, lo kasha. That's not a problem. Hadit le gedanfo, adalet le gedanfo. Depends how they're made. Do they have a border on them, or they do not have a border? If they have a border on them, then they become a kli mekabel tuma. So since they're a kli, because they have a beit kibul, since they have a Beit Kibul now, then they are Mekabel Tumah. Certain materials require a Beit Kibul because they're compared to Sak in the Torah. Since they're compared to Sak, they're only Mekabel Tumah when they have a Beit Kibul. So if they have a border around them, or perimeter, then they have a Beit Kibul and they're Mekabel Tumah. That's the case here. That's the case of these Chotzalot. On the other hand, what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was talking about, the Machatzelet over there, those don't have borders around them. Since they don't have borders, I mean, they're flat. It's like a Kli Eitz that is flat, a Kli Eitz that doesn't have a Beit Kibul, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Since it's not Mekabel Tumah, that's when it's Vechein Amar Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa agreed with Rabbi Yossi that you can use them for Schach, because they're not Mekabel Tumah. If they're not Mekabel Tumah, then they're fine for Schach. Meitevei, Chotzalot Shel Sha'am V'Shel Gemi. If you have these Chotzalot that are made out of bamboo or cork, V'Shel Gemi, again, is this reed grass or the straw. Vishel sak, they're made out of goat's hair. Vishel sfira, which is horse's hair. Mitameit meimet, divi Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says they're mekabel tuma, but only of tmeimet. Chamim af midras. And then here you have the chamim saying af midras. Here the bright actually says that it's af midras. But here you have a bunch of materials that are being mentioned. In the Mishnah and Idiot that we had before, there we just had achotzalot. With regards to the Chotzalot, then we had the Machkola Chotzalot, Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim disagree. Now we have a list of materials by which they disagree. Now the Gemara is going to go back to what do we say Chotzalot were. One said they were Mizable, and the other one, Reish Lakish, said that they were Machatzelet. So now the Gemara wants to understand this. Bishmaloma the Mandamar Mazuvle Shel Sham Vishel Gemi. If you think they're Mazuvle, they're these sacks that you fill, or bags, or pouches, then Shal Sham Shel Gemi. Those that are made out of bamboo or reed grass, Chazu lekinta de peire. They're good for baling fruits. They're good for storing fruits in them, because you can wrap the fruits in them. Fruits that are large enough, they're not going to fall through the cracks there. V'shel sak v'shel svira, chazu legulke vitzane. Those that are made of goat's hair or horse's hair, they're good for what are called baskets, sacks, or pouches, haversacks. They can be used to carry things because they are hair, they're finer material, they close up much tighter, and therefore you can really use them for carrying things along the way. Ela lemanda amar machatzalot mamash, according to Reish Lakish before, who said that they are actually reed mats. Then, vishlamah shel sak v'shel tzvira, when you're talking about hair mats, then you can say, chazu leprase v'nachbato. They're good to be used as a curtain to separate a room, or nafat as a sieve, because they are thin enough that you can run things through them as a sieve, and that's great. El shel shalsham v'shel gemi l'may chazu. Use bamboo, or you use gemi to make them into real machatzalot. What do you do with them? Why would you be mekabel tuma? They have no function. They say, chazu l'naziyata. They're useful as a naziyata. Now, we had the word naziyata, if you remember, in the Gemara in Shabbat, which is masuchraita l'naziyato, cloth for the tap, for the hole in the barrel. Ray Rashi says it over here, the naziyato is the cover. They used to put them on the barrels of beer. They used to put a cover on top. Tosafot disagrees and says that can't be the explanation over here, because the Mishnayot and Kelim say that covers of barrels are actually not mikabel tuma, when you put something to sit on top. Chipui is not mikabel tuma. So Tosafot says it must be that they are made to capture something, put something in them. You get that, right? There's some that say, some have it expressed this way, which is, if you say machatzalot mamash, then shosham shel gemi chazu naziyato. We know what you do with them. Veshel sak veshel tzvira chazu leparse v'nafvato. We have the reasons that you would use them. Those that are made out of bamboo, those that are made out of reed grass, you would use for, either according to Tosafot, to hold some sort of item in them, according to Rashi, as covers for the barrels. And shel sak and shel tzvira, those that are made out of goat's hair, and on horses' hair, then you can put them as a curtain, or you can use them as a sieve. Elamand amar mazuble, the one who says that it was a pouch or a sack, vishma shel sak shel svira, which are finer materials, chazu legulke vitzane. Then they're useful as pouches or sacks. El shel sham shel gemi, what are you going to do with them? The mai chazu, what do you do with them? They're too wide or too coarse a connection in order to use them to hold things in, because they'll slide out. Chazu lekinta de peri, they can use them for larger fruits that you place on them as a baler for those larger fruits. They're not going to fall out because they're bigger in size. Satanyo, Amar Rabbi Chananya, kisharati legola, when I went down to the Gola, I mean he went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, matzati zaken achad, v'amar li misachin bebudja, that they use budja as chach. Shabbati to Rabbi Shua achiabo, when I came to Rabbi Shua, my uncle, hodal dvarav, he said he's correct. V'amar Rav Chista qualifies that, says, v'hu delay le gedanfa, as long as it doesn't have a rim or a border around it. So the bodja or budja over here is what we otherwise call reeds. These are mats of reeds. And what seems here is that they use them for schach, but on the other hand, if they had a rim around them, they had a gedanfa, Ra'a Tosafot says that they used them for tzmarim. They used to put dates on them to dry out, and that's when they had a gedanfa, because they had a rim, then the dates wouldn't fall off of there. But unless they had a rim, they wouldn't do that. And so therefore, they're only mekabel tuma as a kli when they have a gedanfa, otherwise they're not. Samarula ani budita de b'nei mechuza. These mats of b'nei mechuza, il malei kir shalahem. If it wasn't for the fact that they had walls on the side, I mean they had a rim or walls on the side, you could use them as schach, which is corroborating what we just saw here. As long as they don't have a rim around them, then this stam, when they're flat, is to use britzel for schach, because they're not mekabel tuma. Tanya Nami Ochiv, a writer that supports that position, which is Misachin Babuja, you're allowed to use a buja, Vinesh Lakir in Misachinba, but if it has a wall or a rim around it, then you cannot utilize it as a schach. Alright. Ayashin Takara Mita Basuka, someone who sleeps under a bed in the Sukkah, Lo Yatza Yedei Chovato. He cannot discharge his obligation of sleeping in the Sukkah, he's not sleeping in the Sukkah because he's sleeping under the bed. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Noagim Ainu, Sheinu Yeshenim, Tachar Amita, Bifnei Hazakenim. That we had this practice, that when we were in the Sukkah with the elders, we used to end up sleeping under the beds. And they didn't say anything to us, implying or almost condoning the behavior, saying that when you're under a bed, it's not problematic. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Maaseh, Bitavi, Abdosha, Rabbi Gamliel, there was this incident. There was this case where the Tavi, who is the servant of Rabbi Gamliel, who's mentioned throughout Shas, was known to be a righteous Eved Kenani, and was also well-versed in Halakha. Shayeyashen tachar amita. And he used to sleep under the bed. V'amar lehen, Rabbi Gamliel is genim, Rabbi Gamliel says to the Zkenim, not derech psak halacha, but just saying, making a point. Re'itim tavi abdi. Did you see my tavi? Shu tamid chochom. How wise he is, how much he understands the halacha. Yodei shavadim turim in a sukkah. He knows that avadim are patur min a sukkah. The fika gashen hu tachan amita. So therefore he slept under the bed. The sukkah was crowded. And he knew that he was patur min sukkah. He didn't want to crowd everybody else out. So he slept under the bed. The Yushalmi actually asks on that, why don't you just leave the sukkah and go sleep inside? So Yushalmi says over there, but he stayed in the sukkah because he wanted to hear the Shema Divrei Chachamim. He wanted to overhear what the Chachamim were saying because he was very learned and he wanted to be Mishamesh to Tamidei Chachamim and hear what they had to say. Ulufi Darkeinu Lamadnu. And from this statement, again, Rabbi Gamliel didn't mean it as a psak halacha, but he said it, and therefore we're going to learn from his statement, Shayashin Takanamitalo Yetzai Yedei Chuvato. The reason that Tavi is under the bed is because he knows that he's Pator Misukah. That means that if you're under the bed, you're not Yotze, the mitzvah of Sukkah. Or it says, Va'alek Asara. Why is the bed a problem? There's not 10 tefachim under the bed to make it into an ohel that will block your sukkah tachat sukkah. So Targum HaShmuel, Shmuel says that our mishnah is in a case b'mita asara. It's talking about a bed that is 10 tefachim off the ground. Now Tosafot already does the same thing that we did before, which is possibly connect this to Shmuel's statement back on Daf Yud Aleph. On Daf Yud Aleph, Shmuel's of a position that sukkah tachat sukkah requires 10 tefachim to be a sukkah tachat a sukkah. So Shmuel, the Shitato, says over here that for a bed to be a problem for a sukkah, it has to be at least 10 tefachim high. That would mean that the other opinions there in the Gemara who say that either it's 4 tefachim and 1 tefach would have the same opinion here with regards to a bed. A bed will only have to be a tefach to the ground or 4 tefachim off the ground, depending on the opinion, in order to be problematic. That's one way you could look at it. Or you could argue that even those individuals over there would agree to Shmuel's position over here because it's a bed. That a bed normally is an ohel arai. It's not really a permanent, permanent structure to call it a sukkah, tachat a sukkah. And therefore, even they would agree that you need a minimum of 10 tefachim to ruin the sukkah. As well as what we mentioned before, that a bed is not made to be a sukkah. It's made for the sleeping on top, not for the birds underneath it. And therefore, you might need something more significant underneath it to have it be a problem of sukkah. So in that way, those opinions back on Yud Aleph would also agree with Shmuel, even though they disagree there about sukkah, tachat sukkah. In this instance, by the mitah, maybe they would agree to Shmuel that you need that minimum of 10 tefachim. Okay, we're going to stop over here.